Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the Word of God. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray. Our God, let the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock, our Redeemer, our Lord. Amen. Well, have you ever been fed up? Maybe you knew someone who mistreated you for a long time, who spoke lies about you, who misrepresented you, who maligned your reputation, and who broke you with their words. And you just got to a point where you said, enough. Or maybe we could move out and be a little more broad than that. Maybe you fell for the lies of the times, the lies of our surrounding culture, that the world is a pleasant place, that people are basically good, that we are free to do whatever we want with little to no consequences, that presidential elections and political campaigns can truly give people hope. And then something snapped. You realized you'd bought into a lie, a sort of system of thinking. And it was hard and it was painful, but you didn't want it anymore. You were disenchanted by it. You were fed up. And all of a sudden, the things of this world just sort of became strange to you. If this has ever been you, or if it should ever be you, then the Lord has a word for you from Psalm 120 this morning. And through this psalm, the Lord tells you that the Christian life is a life of becoming more and more fed up with the lies of this world, and as a result, repenting more and more and turning to God for help. The Lord tells us this morning that the Christian life is a life of disenchantment with the lies of this world, a life of becoming more and more fed up and tired with it. And as a result of that, turning and repenting and turning more and more and more to God for help and crying out to Him. And you may have noticed our psalm's title, which unfortunately I forgot to read, A Song of Ascents. Psalm 120, along with 121, 122, 123, all the way to 134, are part of this collection of songs that were regularly sung by God's people as they pilgrimed to Jerusalem to celebrate the annual feasts. Now, this was an exciting time for God's people, and so these songs are filled with confidence. They're filled with joy, trust, hope, security, expectation, and praise. Songs about Mount Zion and the Lord's people and their deepest desires. But the song that kicks off this collection is relatively dismal. In fact, it's a little bit harsh and abrasive. It doesn't seem like there is much joy here. It doesn't seem like there is much confidence. And yet there is. And yet this psalm, Psalm 120, is a perfect starting point to sort of frame and reorient our minds to understand better our lives here on earth. Look at verse 1. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and He answered me. You see, right from the get-go, the psalmist is in trouble. He's desperate. He needs help, and so he cries out to the God of Israel. Deliver me, O Lord, deliver me from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Now, what's important to notice here is that these lying lips and this deceitful tongue that he's talking about, they are not his own lying lips. They are not his own deceitful tongue. No, he's using poetic language to describe other people who are liars. He's crying out, deliver me from the liars. He's been living among those who hate peace, verse 6. And it sort of makes sense why, if you think about the history of God's people in the Old Testament, they bought into a lie. They looked around at all the other nations and craved what they had. Give us a king so we can be like the nations, 1 Samuel 8. And the Lord says, okay. And so the kings of Israel buy into all sorts of lies that the world offers them. And then they bring those lies into the land, and then they bring calamity upon the people. Friends, don't think for a moment that we're above Israel. Don't think that we're any different from God's people, the way they've always been. Think about our hearts for a moment. How easy is it to be enticed by the lies the world would offer us? The advertisements that would entice us to feel like we need this and that, like we always want more, or consumeristic techniques telling us the next thing will always make us happier, or sexual freedom and instant gratification that promise cheap joy, or politicians who promise hope, power, and security, but can't really offer it. Or even the lies of those who would tell us we can be pretty good people without ever mentioning Jesus once. This goes all the way back to the beginning, to that ancient lie. You can have everything you want, and you don't need to acknowledge God. We hear the serpent's words in our ears that sound so enticing. Your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God. Psalm 120 is a painful realization that we have been lied to. What was assumed to be true by the psalmist was in fact a lie. And he bought into it. He fell for it. And now the truth hits him. And so he does the only thing that seems plausible. He cries out to the God who is truth. Deliver me from the liars, O Lord. The psalmist cries to the Lord who will never lie to him, who has never lied, to the God who reorients everything according to his truth, his character, and his ways. And the Lord answers the psalmist's cry, verse 1. Though the psalmist may dwell among liars who hate peace, the Lord is for him. The Lord loves him. The Lord protects him. The Lord is in control, and vengeance will be his. And I hope this is encouraging and comforting for you. When you feel betrayed, when you feel cheapened, when you feel lied to by the world, cry out. Cry out to the Lord for truth. Let him reorient your heart and your thoughts and cry out to the Lord. No matter your situation, the Lord is for you and vengeance will be his. Vengeance is the Lord's. Look at verse 3. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? The psalmist here turns and asks the liars, do you realize what's coming? Do you realize what kind of wrath you're storing up for yourselves? Verse 4, a warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree, flaming arrows. God is coming in judgment against those who wage war against his people. It's interesting. In Israel's Midrash literature, Midrash is sort of an ancient commentary by the rabbis on the Old Testament. In Israel's Midrash literature, legend said that a broom tree, like the one spoken of here in verse 4, produced coals that easily burned longer than a year. Now, whether that's true or not, that's kind of irrelevant. The point is that this is the kind of fire that the Lord is coming with. A fire that is going to utterly consume and yet continue burning without any end. And it's at this point that the psalmist seems to come to this sort of strange resolve. Verse 5. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Now what's interesting here, or should be interesting, is that this guy has probably never even been to Meshech or Kedar. Meshech is essentially modern-day Turkey and is a far-off tribe northwest of Israel, while Kedar is the modern Arabian desert and is a barbaric Bedouin tribe on Israel's southeast borders. The two nations are diametrically opposed and separated on the map. Meshech is up here, Kedar is here, and Israel is like somewhere here. So what we're supposed to see is that he's being figurative here. These nations are symbolizing something. They're representing something more that he wants to communicate. Meshech represents the foreign, the strange, sort of the weird, whereas Kedar represents the hostile, the violent, those who are close and a threat to Israel. Woe to me that I sojourn among the foreign and the strange, that I dwell among the hostile and the wicked. And yet there's a strange resolve here. I wonder if you noticed it. Notice he says, sojourn. I sojourn in Meshech. I sojourn. Because the Lord has answered him in his distress. There's a resolved confidence that Meshech isn't permanent. The Lord heard me. The Lord watches me. The Lord keeps me. The Lord protects me from those who hate peace. And Meshech and Kedar aren't my home. And for now, I sojourn in Meshech and Kedar as a pilgrim, preparing for Jerusalem, preparing for Mount Zion. So I am content in being fed up and disenchanted with the world, because the Lord answered me and will avenge me. Now look back at verse 4. The Lord's arrows and His fire are coming to consume what He calls the shameless liars. But as this sojourning psalmist speaks this declaration of judgment to Meshech and Kedar, he isn't simply pronouncing doom and gloom upon them. On the one hand, verse 4 kind of sounds like an uncompassionate Jonah preaching at the Ninevites. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. But on the other hand, the psalmist declares judgment to them so that he might get something out of them in return, so that they might repent, so that they might turn like he did to the Lord and cry out with him, deliver me from this life of lies. We have no reason not to think this. Look at verse 7. I am for peace. In fact, the Hebrew literally says, I am peace. As the psalmist speaks judgment, he's intending to bring about peace, even as those who hear him hate peace and go to war against him. Even so, he speaks God's no to their lies in order that they might hear and see God's truth, God's yes in truth. Friends, we need to hear the implicit message here in verse 4. Repent. The Lord is coming. Turn to Him. Escape His arrows and fire. Become fed up with the world's ways, with the world's lies, and live. I don't know about you, but I can't help but hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ here. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, or you will perish. Repent and turn, so your sins might be blotted out. Repent and turn to the living God. These are all quotes from the Gospels and the New Testament. You see, the Lord who answered the psalmist's cry is the Lord Himself who comes to sojourn in Meshech and Kedar. Truth became man so He could die for our lying lips and our deceitful tongues. Peace became man so He could die for us who hate peace, who love war, who love violence and bickering and content, malcontent. And so He could now confront us from Psalm 120, repent and turn to Me. I am peace. I am for peace. And I speak peace to your heart because I speak God's truth. I think at this point, it's important to note that repentance isn't simply something we do at the beginning of our Christian lives. I think in our American culture, repentance is a word freighted with a lot of fear. It's kind of a scary word. You think of fire and brimstone preaching, guys casting down fire on people. But that's not what repentance is. Repentance isn't all about that. Repentance isn't something we do at the beginning of our Christian lives. It's something that characterizes the entirety of our Christian lives. As one old theologian put it, all of life is repentance. Repentance is that turning away from our sin and our confusion and our evil ways and turning and following the Lord. Pursuing a life of righteousness, pursuing a life that is characterized by reflecting the Lord's character, by reflecting the Lord's ways, by His mercy, by His grace, by His compassion, even in light of difficult situations like the psalmist is facing. But that doesn't take away the difficulty of repentance. That doesn't take away the pain of repentance. And the painful realization about repentance is to admit something very basic about ourselves. It's not an emotion. It's not simply feeling sorry for our sins. No, that's not what repentance is. Repentance is something we have to own. We have to become resolved on it. We have to turn and decide on it. We have to admit we've been wrong in thinking we could manage our own lives without the Lord. We have to admit that outward appearances and the smiles that we put on in front of people or the dirty looks we give to people to protect us, the interior of us, the outward appearances, the good morals, the financial things, and earthly security, those aren't the things we really need. We have to admit that we've been lied to about ourselves, about the people we live around, and the world itself. And then we have to admit that we actually bought into this lie. We sided with the one who hates us, with the one who desires to wage war on us, with the one who desires to kill and destroy and steal from us, so that we would turn away from the Lord and be left naked and without protection from danger. And yet the Lord Jesus was pleased to protect us and let the fiery arrows of God consume Him and not us. We have to admit these things and then turn and follow the Lord who tells us the truth in Jesus Christ. You see, if we think about repentance like that, it isn't simply something we do at the beginning of our Christian lives. It is, but it's something that continues to characterize our Christian lives the whole way, up until the day that we die. We have to constantly be turning. And that's hard. It's hard for me to do these things. But the Lord tells us to trust Him, to trust the Lord, to trust His ways. Don't succumb to the ways of the world. Don't take the easy way out. Follow the Lord as His pilgrim and be for peace. And repent of the ways you've bought into the world's lies, as painful, as irritating, or humiliating as that might feel. And continue to turn. Continue to turn to the Lord. Continue to pursue Him and call on Him again and again in your distress. Beloved, we sojourn in Meshech and Kedar. We sojourn among the strange, among the hostile, among the violent. This world is a mess. Just turn on the news. Look at the New York Times on the internet. Look at what happened just a week ago. But this world isn't our end goal. It isn't our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And this life is a pilgrimage with our God to meet the Lord Jesus face to face, where we will know sin no longer, where we will not be affected by sin any longer, where we will not be sinned against, and where we will not sin against others. We will not commit lies. We will not commit violence. That's what we're going for when we meet the Lord Jesus face to face. But until our pilgrimage ends here on earth, the Lord uses us as His instruments to communicate grace, to communicate His mercy, to communicate His compassion, and hold out repentance as an option to the lost in the world, to speak peace, to speak grace, to speak kindness, to speak hope and salvation, and to speak, even speak, God's no when necessary. And to invite anyone who is sick and fed up, who is disenchanted with being lied to, who is sick and fed up of being disappointed by society's never-ending expectations and never-satisfying offers, who is sick and fed up of being tired and is just exhausted and needs some rest, to invite these and others like them to turn to the Lord, to turn and join us on our pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, where the Lord, our truth and our peace, dwells in the company of His people forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray.